Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is February 17, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Binance CEO says crypto exchange has applied for a Singapore license. Binance to announce white label exchange infrastructure for local markets. Crypto exchange Fcoin insolvent after revealing up to $130 million Bitcoin shortfall. Low volume Bitcoin pullback stalls at price support near $9,600. Chinese blockchain startup hires VC exec to lead North American expansion. Bitcoin mining unit manufacturer MicroBT nibbles at Bitmain's market share. London-based crypto custodian Copper raises $8 million for expansion overseas. Now let's get started. Binance CEO says crypto exchange has applied for a Singapore license. The world's top cryptocurrency exchange by trading volume is hoping to get the official green light to operate in Singapore. According to a report from Bloomberg on Sunday, the firm's CEO and co-founder Changpeng CZ Zhao said in an interview that an application has already been submitted to the island state's authorities under new legislation passed in late January. "We submitted the application pretty fast. Binance's Singapore entity has been in close touch with the local regulators, and they have always been open-minded," CZ told Bloomberg. The updated Payments Services Act brings what are termed digital payment token, DPT, services covering all crypto-based businesses and exchanges plying their trade in Singapore under current anti-money laundering, AML, and counter-terrorist financing, CTF, rules. Under the Act, crypto firms are required to first register and then apply for a license to operate in the jurisdiction. Binance already has an office in Singapore, Bloomberg indicates. As of January 28, 2020, the Payments Act gave existing crypto firms a month to register with the Monetary Authority of Singapore. Once firms are registered, they are given a 6-month period in which they must apply for their payment institution license. Binance, once a purely crypto-to-crypto exchange, has been working to expand its user base in recent months with the addition of fiat payment gateways. Last week it added 15 cryptocurrencies through Israeli payment processor Simplex. It's also just hired a former Uber exec to help drive global growth. While Singapore's new regime means crypto firms will have to run their operations to a high regulatory standard, it also brings them legitimacy and an official licensed status. Independent Reserve, one of the largest cryptocurrency exchanges in Australia, said last month that it would expand to Singapore, citing a number of positive moves by Singaporean regulators. Binance to announce white label exchange infrastructure for local markets. Binance will soon be launching a digital asset trading platform that can be rebranded by smaller exchanges for their local markets. Binance Cloud will offer local exchanges spot market and futures trading, as well as local bank API integrations and peer-to-peer P2P fiat to cryptocurrency exchange services, the company will say in a statement this week. Implementing a product like Binance Cloud would relieve potential exchange operators of the software burdens involved in security and scalability. That gives them more time to worry about, say, getting the proper licenses and registrations in their jurisdiction. Binance Cloud will offer the matching engine, security controls and liquidity of the main Binance.com exchange. So while an exchange may have its own branding and local fiat currency, the back end will basically be Binance itself, which will bring the benefit of more liquidity, albeit indirectly, and potentially in places where Binance doesn't currently operate. The Binance Cloud Service is an all-in-one solution, featuring an easy-to-use dashboard that allows customers to manage funds, trading pairs and coin listings, as well as multilingual support, depth sharing with the Binance.com Global Exchange, and more opportunities to collaborate with the ecosystem, the company said. Soon, Binance also plans adding staking and OTC over-the-counter trading services, as well as token launch capabilities via an IEO initial exchange offering platform. This could mean Binance would have to compete with AlphaPoint, one of the largest infrastructure providers on the cryptocurrency exchange market today. Founded in 2013, AlphaPoint provides software services to some of the largest exchanges in the world, although it doesn't discuss specific clients. Exchanges are not easy to build. There are many elements to consider, such as order types and matching, as well as other features. Security and scaling during massive bull runs are also huge concerns for exchanges. Security has been an issue for Binance itself. It was breached in 2019 with $40.7 million stolen after hackers accessed exchange users' API keys and 2FA codes. While an explanation on further technical details was never published on the hack, the exchange covered the losses via its Secure Asset Fund for Users (SAFU) insurance fund. Crypto exchange Fcoin insolvent after revealing up to $130 million Bitcoin shortfall. Zhang Jian, the former Huobi CTO who launched Fcoin in May 2018, wrote a lengthy post on Monday, saying the exchange is now unable to process users' withdrawal demands as its asset reserve has fallen short of its liability and the gap is estimated to be about 7,000 to 13,000 Bitcoin. The post, first published in Chinese and later translated on Reddit, comes as a shocking notice to users in China as the significant amount of assets in question led to the insolvency of the controversial model that at one point made Fcoin one of the largest exchanges by trading volume. Zhang claimed in the post that the exchange was neither hacked nor an exit scam, but the problem is a little too complicated to be explained in a single sentence. In summary, he said the issue came from internal system errors that have for a long period of time credited users with more transaction-based mining rewards than they should have received. As the company failed to spot this soon enough to remedy the situation, the snowball has grown even larger since the beginning of 2019. Transfee mining. Fcoin went live around May 2018, introducing a novel model called transfee mining to incentivize trading and to issue its exchange token dubbed FT. Instead of launching an initial coin offering or an airdrop, Fcoin issued 51% of its FTs to the public in exchange for making transactions. For instance, for every transaction fee a user paid to Fcoin in the form of either Bitcoin or Ethereum, the platform would reimburse the user 100% of the value in FTs. In addition, Fcoin would distribute 80% of the transaction fees it collected in Bitcoin and Ether to users who held FTs Bitcoin continuously throughout a day. This model, while being criticized for possibly enabling price manipulation of the FT, was quickly adopted by others and led to a shake-up among exchanges in terms of volume ranking. However, according to Zhang, errors in Fcoin's system started to give away more mining rewards to users than they should have earned, beginning in mid-2018. The firm did not set up a complete back-end auditing system to properly manage its treasury until mid-2019, he said. As the price of FT continuously decreased through 2019, Zhang said he and his team have been buying back FTs from the secondary market in efforts to increase the buying demand for the token's price, which was one of the decision errors he made. Zhang said the system problem coped with these decision errors gave a large amount of users the opportunity to sell and withdraw more than what should have been on their account balance, causing the significant loss of Fcoin's assets on its own balance sheet. The announcement came just days Fcoin suspended its entire platform after discovering a risk control issue. Zhang said in the post that he will now personally and manually process users' withdrawal requests made via emails. He claimed that he will switch tracks and start again and hopes to use profits from his new projects to compensate everyone for their losses. Low-volume Bitcoin pullback stalls at price support near $9,600. Bitcoin defended key support around $9,600 on Sunday with a doji candle, stalling the price pullback and putting the market into neutral. A break above Sunday's high of $10,051 is needed to revive the short-term bullish view. That would likely light a fire under buyers, fueling a rise to the recent high of $10,500. On the downside, Sunday's low of $9,598 is now the level to beat for the bears. Bitcoin's price pullback looks to have stalled with the bears losing steam near former hurdle turn support on Sunday. The number one cryptocurrency by market cap ran into offers over the weekend, having faced multiple rejections near $10,500 on February 12-13. Notably, the cryptocurrency fell nearly 4.5% on Sunday, its biggest single-day decline since November 24, with sellers driving prices as far as support at $9,615, a higher high created on February 3. The former resistance level, however, withstood the bear attack. Bitcoin went on to close Sunday on a flat note above $9,900, forming a doji candle on the daily chart, a sign of hesitation from the bears near the price support. While Sunday's doji candle has weakened the case for a deeper pullback, a bull revival is still not confirmed. For that, prices need to find acceptance above Sunday's high of $10,051. So far, the positive follow-through to the doji has remained elusive. The cryptocurrency is currently trading around $9,730 on Bitstamp, and its global average price, as calculated by CoinDesk's Bitcoin Price Index, is seen at $9,750. The immediate outlook would turn bullish if prices rise above $10,051, possibly causing more buyers to join the market and yielding a retest of the recent high of $10,500. If Sunday's low of $9,598 is breached, it would mean the period of indecision, as represented by the doji candle, has ended with victory for the bears. In that case, a stronger downside move toward $9,075 February 4th low could be seen. That said, the longer duration studies are still biased in favor of a breakout above $10,051. For instance, the 50 and 200-day averages are about to produce a golden crossover, bull cross, for the first time in nearly 10 months, a pattern that may prompt increased buying pressure. The relative strength index is hovering in the bullish territory above 50, and the MACD is producing higher bars above the zero line, a sign of strengthening of bullish momentum. The 5 and 10 week averages are also trending north, indicating a bullish setup. The pullback from $10,500 lacks substance, as trading volumes have tapered off since February 13. A low volume price drop is often short-lived. Chinese blockchain startup hires VC exec to lead North American expansion. Blockchain startup Conflux has hired Eden Dhaliwal, the former head of crypto at Outlier Ventures, as a managing director to lead its expansion in North America. The Beijing-based firm is set to open an office in Toronto within 2 weeks. It is assembling a 10-person team to conduct research and seek local investors and business partners, Dhaliwal said. Generally, our network is going to be a pathway and conduit into the China market for our partners in North America, given our traction in the country, he said. The startup's global expansion came after it received a rare official endorsement and financial backing from the Shanghai government in January. Its public chain project raised $35 million from major investors such as Sequoia and Huobi via a private token sale in 2018. Conflux blockchain uses a proof-of-work mechanism, similar to the Bitcoin networks, to reach consensus on the state of the ledger with its native tokens. The firm claims the public permissionless network is able to scale up while maintaining the same level of security as any PoW network. Dhaliwal joined Conflux on January 1. He left the Toronto office of London-based Outlier Ventures at the end of December after working at the fintech venture capital firm for over 3 years. Dhaliwal will remain an advisor of the firm. He previously worked at DLT Labs and Techstars. Outlier Ventures has backed a spate of blockchain protocol providers. The firm participated in a $4 million funding round in smart contract language creator Agoric in May along with Ripple. It led a funding round with Polychain in Haja Networks, which offers open-source products facilitating interoperability between different chains. Conflux aims to provide a public decentralized platform where developers can create applications and marketplaces, Dhaliwal said. We think there are opportunities to expand beyond Ethereum, especially in the decentralized finance space, Dhaliwal said. Our early focuses are definitely on DeFi and open finance such as decentralized exchanges, stablecoins, payments, remittance and lending. We are also going to be focused on ecosystem development that involves everything from partnering with other projects in the Web3 stack, decentralizing our mining to working with startups, he added. Conflux has also set up an office in Nigeria as a base to build a presence in Africa. The firm sees great potential there since most of the countries do not have a legacy system, according to Dhaliwal. Toronto is one of the largest financial hubs in North America and it has a very strong developer community, Dhaliwal said. It is a convenient place for the team to network in New York as well, given the Canadian city's close proximity to the Big Apple, he said. Bitcoin mining unit manufacturer MicroBT nibbles at Bitmain's market share. Bitcoin miner maker MicroBT has rapidly expanded market share by selling over 500,000 units in 2019, chipping away at rival Bitmain's dominance. MicroBT sold about 600,000 units of its flagship WATS miner M20 series last year, Vincent Zhang, sales head of the Shenzhen-based company, said in an online panel hosted by Chinese mining pool Pulin on Thursday in a WeChat group. These products generate a computing power of about 60 terahashes per second (THS) on average, he said. That means the newly delivered 600,000 units may have contributed over 30 exahashes (AS) of hashing power to the Bitcoin network in 2019, 1A equals 1 million TH. Amid Bitcoin's price jump throughout 2019, the network's two-week average computing power more than doubled from just 40 AS around the end of 2018 to nearly 100 AS in December. That'd mean close to half of Bitcoin's computing power growth in 2019 may have come from equipment delivered by MicroBT. Zhang didn't specify the precise average unit price of these batches, as they could fluctuate depending on Bitcoin's price over the year. But the firm's various models in its M20 product line are generally priced between $24 to $30 per terahash, meaning the firm has brought home a high nine-figure revenue in US dollars for 2019. Bitcoin's current computing power stands at 110 AS. That also means MicroBT may account for around 30% of Bitcoin mining power sold right now, making it one of the largest and fastest growing miner makers in the world. Situation in flux. Meanwhile, crypto research firm CoinShares estimated in a report on December 12 that Bitmain's dominance of sold Bitcoin hash rate was about 65% at the time, already down from 75% in 2018. But this number may already be slightly outdated as Bitcoin's computing power has since then grown by yet another 20%, jumping from 92 AS in mid-December to about 110 AS at the moment. Hangzhou-based Canaan Creative, maker of the Avalon miner, which went public in the US in November, estimated in its IPO filing that it accounted for around 20% of Bitcoin computing power sold for the first 6 months of 2019. The firm has yet to release its full-year results. That said, Bitmain's mining equipment still dominates the market, resulting from the successful sales of its Antminer S7 from 2015 to 2016 and later its S9 model from 2017 to 2018. According to Bitmain's IPO filing in September 2018 in Hong Kong, the firm delivered about 500,000 Bitcoin miners in 2015 and 2016, and further sold 3 million units from the beginning of 2017 to June 30, 2018, amid the crypto market's bull run. Halving looms. While S9s with an average 14th, S computing power are still the most widely used miners, they are facing an increasing risk of becoming obsolete as Bitcoin's halving event approaches in May, which will reduce Bitcoin's mining rewards from 12.5 Bitcoin per block to 6.25. CoinDesk reported earlier this month that mining farms have been procuring the latest and most powerful miners to expand their facilities or replace older models in preparation for the upcoming halving. While Bitmain its latest Antminer S17 series last year to rival MicroBT's WhatsMiner M20 product line, the latter has significantly outrun Bitmain in terms of mass production and shipments. The two firms are also racing to deliver even more powerful machines in 2020 ahead of the halving event, namely, the Antminer S19 and WhatsMiner M30. That said, the actual production quantity of these products still largely depends on the supply of wafers from semiconductor companies such as Samsung or TSMC, which, according to Zhang, is very limited. Coronavirus impact. Meanwhile, as the coronavirus outbreak in China delays manufacturing and logistics, Bitcoin's computing power growth has stagnated for the time being. In fact, data from miningpoolbtc.com estimates that Bitcoin's mining power is poised to decrease by 1.78% in about 8 days. Zhang said in the WeChat group that MicroBT has resumed its production. Currently, part of the logistics has also gone back to work. So now the supply of miners is not a big issue, but not every mining farm is physically accessible, he said. Large scale of investments may be affected because investors may not be able to do physical due diligence on facilities, Zhang said. London-based crypto custodian Copper raises $8 million for expansion overseas. Crypto custody provider Copper has raised $8 million in a Series A round, an investment it plans to use launching in new markets. Participants in the Series A included two UK-based venture capital firms, Local Globe and MMC Ventures, as well as the Berlin-based Target Global, which specializes in investing in European companies so they can fund global expansion, according to a Monday announcement. The London-based startup said it aims to develop a presence in key regional areas, like Asia and North America, as well as enhance its offering to feature more sophisticated trading facilities found in traditional prime brokerage offerings. Copper was always designed to be a global offering, said Copper founder and CEO Dmitry Tokarev, who was formerly CTO at Dolphin Wealth Management, a UK-based asset manager. This venture funding round is a real vote of confidence from investors. Their support will allow us to accelerate our scale-up, hiring teams in key regions and introducing new products and services to better meet their needs. Speaking to CoinDesk, Tokarev said the Series A will help the firm hire specialists who can deal with local regulations, as well as business development teams for the new markets. This will give greater support for existing customers in Asia and America, as well as provide the company with a toehold to begin offering services to a new client base. Copper has also planned on establishing an office in Hong Kong, although the coronavirus outbreak has stalled the effort, with a final judgment to be made sometime at the end of Q1. New products include a margining facility as well as tri-party repos, a type of contract that provides financial services to traders involved in borrowing funds by selling assets. Having launched in 2018, Copper offers multi-signature custody and prime brokerage services for institutional trading to its clients, which include various funds, financial institutions, and high-net-worth private traders. This is provided by Copper's walled garden infrastructure, giving clients access to trading facilities without taking digital assets out of custody. Copper raised $1.3 million in a seed round in 2018 to build out its prime brokerage and custodian solution. Describing the walled garden solution as a fundamental breakthrough in the market, Mike Lobanov, general partner at Target Global, said Copper was providing institutions with traditional prime brokerage services for the crypto world. Last September, Copper reported it had processed $500 million in aggregated trading volume in the 3 months since the launch of its solution in June. $500 million was now Copper's trading volume on a monthly basis, Tokarev told CoinDesk. Since 2017, we have seen many crypto custody solutions emerge that don't fully meet the needs of institutions, said Tokarev. Instead, they have built for an institutional framework that doesn't exist yet, and is unlikely ever to, leaving institutions discouraged. I think any volumes that we currently have, or anyone else in the sector would have, can be 10 times multiplied when the proper infrastructure is there, he said. Copper currently onboards an average of 2 to 3 funds every week and currently has about 30 active clients on the platform, according to Tokarev. In mid-January, the custodian was selected to provide prime brokerage services for a fund created by private London investment house Nickel Digital Asset Management. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.